This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Well, South Africa's immigration debate now has reached a critical moment. In a national address, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced a series of measures aimed at strengthening immigration enforcement. Now, this will include intensified deportations, stricter labor inspections, dedicated immigration courts, and tougher action against employers who hire undocumented migrants. Now, at the same time, he's warned against vigilantism and condemned violence targeting foreign nationals, insisting that only the state has the authority to enforce immigration laws. Now, the address comes amid growing anti-immigrant protests, rising tensions in several communities, and increasing scrutiny. You can well imagine from other African countries. They are concerned about the treatment of their citizens in South Africa. Well, to help us look a bit closer at the political, social and regional implications of this moment, we are joined by Kenneth Moeng-Kwade, political scientist, also columnist and research fellow at the Middle East Africa Research Institute. Kenneth, good afternoon to you. Thanks once again for taking the time to join us on the show.
Good afternoon, Mike, and to the listeners of High FM. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on board, Kenneth. When you listened to President Ramaphosa's address, did you see it perhaps as an attempt to strike a balance between addressing public concerns about illegal immigration and pushing back against xenophobia? So how successful was he, do you believe, in achieving that balance?
No, I don't think that it is going to be easy for him to do that. Yesterday, I think it was an attempt to obviously reclaim a bit of his legitimacy, because what you should realize is that in the past few weeks, during this ongoing protest of immigration or the anti-immigration protest, you could realize that he was really struggling to find his feet, and he did not know how to receive or how to react in these ongoing matches, because you saw the ANC in their from their organization, they were supportive of this protest, but on the government platforms, then they used that opportunity to try and obviously condemn vigilantism. So I think they are still very confused. They don't know how to react on this, taking into mind also that the elections are very quickly approaching, and they have to speak the language of the people. So it was very difficult for him to try and strike the balance between ensuring that law and order is maintained, while at the same time they speak the language of the people. But what I saw yesterday was the fact that on the victory of lobby group, which is March and March, together with those that they are together coordinating these marches across the country. Because what they are doing, other political parties which have carried out the same sentiment, such as Action SA, Patriotic Alliance and others, they failed to do to try and push the ANC, especially the president, to try and have this kind of dialogue over the years. But it was so easier for March and March, under the leadership of Jacinta Ngobese Zuma, Phakela Mthakathi, Ngizo Mkhulu, and others, to try and force the president to come and have some serious discussion over this emotive, sensitive issue. So I think that they have won on that regard, because we are now starting to have this emotional discussion, because this is what people want to be resolved. But the ANC have been trying to, you know, to try and hope that it disappear into thin air. But I think it is here to stay. The government have to talk about it, and they have to ensure that they implement some of the existing laws and policies. He talked very extensively about corruption that takes place through government officials, because we know institutions have been set up, systems are there, but the problem, as we know, is that corruption has always been the problem in South Africa, not only with regard to immigration issues, but also from every angle or every sphere of the government. We have got non-functioning municipalities throughout the country, not because the policies are not working, but because there's the corruption element which the government have really lacked the political will to act against.
You know, Kenneth, earlier on in the show, I put the question out there, if you know, a read between the lines question. All of a sudden now, the president puts out, this address to the nation regarding this immigration issue. And, could this be deflectionary from, issues that have led up to now? Pala-pala. And service delivery and issues like that and general delivery from the ANC.
Yes. So I had mentioned this earlier. So you saw this protest have been going on for more than 3 weeks, but mm-hmm. the ANC have not really, they have not really officially responded to this because they were enjoying the deflection that has been taking place, because now the people have really directed or misdirected all this. Challenges that they are coming across, the socio-economic, political issues that are really affecting them domestically, and then pointing this specific one out of the foreigners. So it really absolves exonerate the ANC from taking some form of accountability and responsibility for failing to govern from 1994 until today. So we must hold the ANC accountable for having run down the municipality, for having collapsed the state of the state-owned entities and other functionaries of government. So what I think we are doing now, or what the South Africans are doing, it is simply to exonerate the ANC from taking accountability. So I really do agree that this is a serious deflection. It's a political deflection from issues that are taking place in South Africa, especially with regard to poor leadership of Cyril Ramaphosa. We know a lot is happening, and the current court case from the Apex Court, which obviously ordered that there should be, what, the Section 89 should be established, and then that report which was tabled by retired Chief Justice Sandile Ngcobo should be executed. So we know that, and he also tried to go to court, or he went to court to try and review all that. So, but what we know is that he's the president who is compromised, and currently there's a lot of political pressure from within his own political party. And in the next year they will be going to an elective conference, which we know has now been. The presidents have been said since Thabo Mbeki that immediately when you come from an elective conference, when the president is serving the second term, so they remove that president. They talk about not having two centers of power. Mm-hmm. So that is what is going to happen. He knows that he's not going to finish his second term, and he's trying to delay all this by trying to come up with tactics that may delay his term so that he can be the first ANC president to finish his second term.
Let's look at one of the recurring themes in this debate. This claim that undocumented migrants are responsible for unemployment and economic hardship. How much of the country's frustration is really about migration, Kenneth? And how much is about deeper structural problems within the economy, for that matter?
You know, Mike, there are structural problems, structural challenges in the economy of South Africa. So since 1994, when we took over, or when the black majority government took over, they did not do much to try and really do away with the system or the system that was presided over by the National Party. I'm talking about having majority of the people being the role players in the economy. So not much has happened. So what has happened has been that very few people who are politically connected have used the political power or available legislations. They've crafted legislations which helped them to get into the economy and becoming bigger role players. I'm talking about the likes of Patrice Motsepe, you've got Cyril Ramaphosa and main mm-hmm. beneficiaries of BEE, and others who are able also to get the farms through the land redistribution programs. So majority of the ordinary people in the townships, in the rural areas where majority of black people are based, they have not really directly benefited from all those affirmative action programs. So a lot needs to be done. So I see this as a deflection from a failure to acknowledge by the agency that they failed since 1994 through all their economic policies, from RDP, which lasted for 2 years, and then they had Asgisa gear, and they then came with National Development Plan. None of those policies have really worked to try and empower the lives of black people. So now they are enjoying this deflection, because let's talk numbers now. Yes, we have got the migration problem, and many other countries, especially in Europe, because South Africa is like your Europe in Africa. It was developed in such a way that other African countries have not really been developed to such a level. So that is why it becomes a destination for migration for other poorer or third world countries. We have got people from Bangladesh, from Pakistan, who are coming also. They see South Africa as their potential destination. They come to this place because of its economic might. That is why they come here. But South African government have not really done much with their political power to try and translate that into economic fortunes. When they were given that, they translated it for their own personal benefits. Sure. You look at the corruption that is taking place in municipalities. It's not white people who are governing in those municipalities. It's black people who are coming from the ANC, majority of them. But when you have got the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape, it's much of those taking from the Auditor General's reports. You will see that many of those municipalities are well run. It's not me saying this, but it's the reports that are actually published by the Office of the Auditor General. Much of the municipalities which are presided over by the ANC, they issue qualified audits. Because they are incompetent, they are mismanaged, and there's a lot of corruption that is taking place there without really consequence management, and they know it. So we have got a lot of things to look at if we are really to try and develop the communities in which majority of the people in this country are presiding. So the ANC is really enjoying this moment, because it gives them opportunity to dodge or to run away from taking responsibility of the chaos that they have really engineered from 1994 until today. So they are not going to say that people are wrong to blame the foreigners. So they are going to say that it's a genuine it's genuine concerns from South Africans. But we should be talking numbers. How many people are we talking about? Majority of the foreigners coming from Zimbabwe, how many are they? We must get the number. And then we know that the borders are porous, and it is the government that have been relegated with that responsibility to ensure that the borders are well or efficiently managed. But they have failed to do so. It's not the South African citizen who have failed to control the borders. It's them who have failed to control the borders. And even when those who are without documents are in the country, they have often failed to try and make sure that they do deport them, or they do what the constitutions direct that they should be doing. So it is the ANC which have really failed to execute its own constitution, or the constitution of the country where they have been where they've been mandated through electoral processes to govern the country. So they do really have failed the country. That is why people are rising up. So we see this as a really spark, the social unrest. You saw the same thing in 2021, where people got an opportunity and then they went into the street to complain about the social conditions. It was not just because of Jacob Zuma, but it is because people are really waiting for that moment, an opportunity, something that could spark the social unrest, because of their social conditions are not really improving.
Kenneth, I wish we just had a bit more time to take a closer look at other questions I did have prepared for you. But we're going to have to leave it there. But Kenneth, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on today's show. Kenneth Moeng Kwade, political scientist, columnist and research fellow at the Middle East Africa Research Institute. And yes, the challenge for policymakers now will be finding solutions which will address legitimate concerns about border management, the rule of law, ensure that frustration does not spill over into division, vigilantism or violence. Kenneth Moeng, once again, thank you so much. Immigration does remain one of the most complex and emotionally charged issues facing our country today. It sits at the intersection of economics, security, governance, human rights, and regional security.